World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Gotta confess to you this morning, been burning the candle at both ends, if you know what that means. That's why we asked yesterday for some prayers. I know that you guys are lifting us up, holding us up in prayer. I appreciate that. My wife and I, Michelle, and took our granddaughter, Reese. We were able to go last night to Lima, Ohio, which is, L-I-M-A, Lima. The only time that you would ever say, why would anybody ever call that Lima? Well, they would do it because of Lima, Peru, right? L-I-M-A is Lima, Peru. Well, here in Ohio, it's a lima bean. It's not a lima bean. It's Lima, Ohio. It's L-I-M. Anyway, we went to Lima, Ohio last night to Pastor Mike Spalding. David Heavener was there. And David Heavener is, pull that up there real quick, Spence. The last evangelist, DavidHeavener.tv, David was filming a, I hate to sound stupid. I don't know whether it was an episode, a short movie. I don't know what it was. And he had his production crew there last night. And we got in at Lima, Ohio, about 6 p.m. last night. We're supposed to start at 6. So we left here about 3:30, Michelle and Reese and I. And we got into Lima, Ohio. And, folks, we were part of a media production last night. It was an unbelievable experience for my granddaughter to get to go through that. And, they did several takes and all that kind of stuff. And, It was just awesome. And Mike, if you guys haven't checked out David Heavener and The Last Evangelist, David's really onto something there. David's a media, he's a Hollywood, don't want to use the term star because we throw that around a lot, but David's been in the Hollywood business for a long, long time. And he has a call upon the Lord, The Last Evangelist TV series. And so we went where CSI meets Revelation. So we went last night. And we rolled in pretty late. I got to be honest with you. Rolled in pretty late. So burning the candle at both ends here. Tip my hat to Mike Spalding. I'm jealous. I'm going to confess here on live TV. I've lost about 15 pounds. I lost about three bags of sugar. Thank goodness. Every time I look at myself, I think, thank you, Lord. Discipline, right? Those disciplines, spiritual disciplines we're talking about. So I'm down 3 bags of flour. But I ran into Spalding, and Spalding's down about, he's down over 4 bags of flour. And his wife, the same thing. And I can't wait to see Penny Miller this year. Skinny Penny, that's what I'm going to call you, Penny, when I see you. Because I know Penny's been fighting that battle. And if you remember about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, we started talking about just getting victory over our carnal nature and time and life happens, and we kind of got away from that thing. I just want some of you out there to know, I'm still not eating junk. I'm still not eating that candy, and the weight is continuing to pour off of me. So I just pray for some of you out there, whether it be pornography or whatever that besetting sin is that you have. Pray that you get victory over it. And I'm going to dive into some of that today because Dizdar is coming up this weekend, right? Russ Dizdar, it's this weekend. It's like, people are starting to come in even tonight. So I got some groundwork I want to lay here. Not groundwork, but some foundation I want to lay before we get to some of this stuff. And so tip of my cap, I'm a little tired today. There's a reason why I'm a little tired. And here's the amazing thing. Michelle made me sleep on the couch last night. That's right. She kicked me to the couch. But the reason she kicked me to the couch is we got home so late. Reese slept in the bed that I would normally sleep in with my wife, opened it up to my granddaughter, and I got kicked to the couch, and it's all okay. I slept like a rock for about five and a half hours. But what's that? Hey, James Brunner, what's that old Eagles song? Running on empty, right? Running blind. That's what I feel.
That's Jackson Brown, coach.
Jackson Brown. Thanks. Thanks, Patrick. Well, I'm running on empty today and happy to be doing it. Listen, can I say this? Sure, I can. It's my show. Thanks, Mike Spaulding. Thanks, David Havner. The Dizdar event this week. Folks, this is some of you here in the Columbus, Ohio area, you may understand what I'm getting ready to bring up. And I know in the pre-show, Jim Harrison was talking about, but hey, folks, listen. Why don't you just do what a cop tells you to do? I don't care. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what color you are. If a policeman tells you to stop, stop.
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean that you have to obey every order he gives you. But if I was a Black American and I turned on the TV, and every time I turn on the TV, I see a white cop shooting a Black person, I would think, you know, maybe I ought to obey those cops because they're shooting Black people. Now, we know that there's not that much of it going on. There is, but we know that that the media is blowing it out of proportion the best that they can. Did you guys see the video here in Columbus, Ohio? I don't have the video up for you. I mean, Spencer could find it in 28 seconds. But the latest police shooting here in Columbus, Ohio, and they still haven't burned the city down, have they, J.R.? Last I checked, they haven't burned the city down. Was a police officer shooting a 15, now they say 16-year-old girl. There it is, Spen. Maybe we can pull this video up. Maybe you can find the video and pull it up. Now, by the way, the young girl's mother said that she was a peaceful girl. She's peaceful. The girl with the knife right there. Go back down there if you can, Spen. The girl right there holding the knife, that girl who's getting ready to stab the other girl. This is what they call black-on-black crime, by the way. And the police officer shows up. And if Spencer, if you can go ahead, maybe get that. Again, the point I'm making is, do the people in the Black community, they're being told that white cops are killing Black people. Wouldn't you cease and desist? Wouldn't you just stop? I mean, do they understand that according to the narrative, cops are in, what's the word I'm looking for? Cops are just mowing down Black people. Don't they know that? That's not the one I'm looking for. It's a video of the Columbus Police Department. See if you can look for another one, Spencer. I should have had this ready, and I thought, no, I'm not going to talk about this. But it's relevant. I'm going to show you why here in a second, right? So what's happened to personal responsibility, my friends? If that's the video that I want you to see. That's the one I want you to see, if you can find that. What happened to compliance? Now, listen, hey, I argue with the cops. I argue with them. But not when I got guns. Not when they roll up and they're serious. They got guns drawn. Like, no, I mean, it's anybody baffled besides me on this one? See, here's what happened in Columbus. Well, Spencer, if you would go to a different website, Spencer, whatever you're on, it's a lousy one. Do another search on it. Friends, here's what happens. You're going to see it real quickly as we pull it up here. This police officer gets called to a domestic dispute. The dispatcher said, one with a knife, yada, yada, yada. All right? So
we're
the cop rolls up.
To Columbus, Ohio.
Good. They're going to show us this, maybe. So the cop rolls up, and you're going to see how quickly this whole thing happens. This guy's got his cameras on. He gets out of his car.
Police released body cam footage just hours after an officer shot.
As soon as he gets out of his car, he's immediately confronted by these two girls that are fighting. One of them. See, this is a national story, Spencer. If you would just go to, keep going, man. We'll find it, folks. This officer had maybe from the time he stepped out of his car, maybe 15 seconds to, there it is. Maybe 15 seconds to assess what was going on. And here, okay, good. Okay, boy, if you can go back to that. And then this girl's got a knife. Stop right there, Spencer. So here's the cop. He walks up on it. They call him. He walks up on it. This is off his body cam. One girl gets knocked down, and this other big 16-year-old girl comes with a knife in her hand. By the way, this is the worst video ever that we're looking at right now. Trust me on this, friends. first of all, CBS Evening News, they want to tell a story, not the story, right? So not going to show you a good, clear video of this. This cop gets out. Two girls fall near, almost at his feet. One, watch this now. Oh, he's already shot her there. One wielding a knife. The girl with a knife then turns and runs. Okay, if that would play through right there, I don't know why it's so hard to see. You'll see. Okay, he's out of his car. Watch what happens. Boom. This girl knocks another girl down. Boom. Okay, now he pulls out his gun. Now the girl runs to another girl to stab her, and he shoots her. This happens in about 15 seconds. So I posted on Facebook, here's the problem. This cop's in trouble because he had to decide which black life mattered. Which black life mattered? Because if he didn't shoot the girl, somebody was going to get stabbed. Do you know you die from stab wounds? You guys know that? You die from stab wounds.
Yeah.
JR, come on in here a minute, JR. Give me your 2 cents worthwhile.
Yeah, a couple things we need to notice.
Hang on while Spencer tries to find a better video than this.
You'll see a young black gentleman that's right next to the girl with a knife. He does nothing. He does nothing to stop this girl. As a matter of fact, he goes to kick the girl that's on the ground. He could have stopped that girl with a knife because he was right next to her. The other thing is that WTVN, the local station, was talking about this yesterday. I tried to get on, and I wanted to talk to them about the black family, because that's really the problem here, is the black families. They're broken. Where's the father in this scene? Probably not going to find one.
Probably not. Spencer, I'm sorry. We got to be able to find a better video than that. I should have sent you one, man. They're just everywhere.
Spencer, I'd like to say,
I just posted.
What's that, James? It's in the chat.
From Sons of Liberty, the video is better.
Okay. I want you to please understand how quickly this thing happened. This cop, he pulls up, he steps out of his car. If we could get the real video and we could count the actual time he has, it can't be 20 seconds. There's no way that it could be 20 seconds that this guy rolls up and he has any idea what's going on. And all of a sudden he has to pull his gun and shoot a girl who's about to stab another girl, right? This video might be better. Let's roll and see what happens. Here he is. He's out of his car. Walks up. Here two girls fall to his feet. What's going on here? He pulls out his gun because he sees the knife. She runs to stab another girl. And he shoots. He had to decide which black life mattered, right? And so what would have happened had he not shot that girl and the other one been stabbed? Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down on this. Here's what I want you to understand. The manipulation going on in the press is unbelievable, folks. So, and our JR, your local mayor, Ginther, did he stand up boldly and defend the police on this one? Well, are there any men out there, particularly white men with any stones? Are there any white men out there with any stones that'll stand up? It's I got a bunch of everyone. I'm sorry I'm talking about this. This one, what I was, let's clean it up here real quick. Go ahead, Larry, then Dale, then Reggie, then Joe. Go, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you asked the magic question. He had to decide which Black Lives Matter. And obviously to some part of the black community and to the media as a whole, it's the black life that gets damaged that they can, it's the black life that they can get the most political mileage out of that matters. The other black lives don't count for poop. The only thing that they care about black lives is the political mileage to foster more racial discord in this country.
I think the Columbus Police Department ought to go on strike. That's what I think. Go ahead, Dale. I think they ought to go on strike till this guy's cleared. Go ahead, Dale.
Absolutely, Coach. I mean, just believe the science, right? So science based on facts, the number one murder weapon in America year in, year out is the knife. That girl with her, the way she was, the mindset she was, she would have stabbed her and turned down that police and probably would have came after that police also. And go to attack. So then you would have had potentially three dead people at the scene. Now that's just the fact. The fact of the matter is knife killing is out precedes rifles and weapons by 2-to-1, 3-to-1 ratio.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, the guy had 20 seconds to react. It's unbelievable. I apologize for not being is this video up here right now? Because I want people to understand how quickly this guy responded and how they're crucifying this police officer because of the fact that he killed, are you ready? A teenager. A poor teen. Here it is. He's out of his car. Boom, boom. They followed his feet. What's going on here? Whoa, whoa. She's running with a knife. He pulls out his gun. Bang. Look at these other people standing around like they're just watching a knife fight going on. I get used to it. Here she comes. Watch. Here comes. He pulls up. Boom. There she goes down. Whoops. He sees she's got a knife. He grabs his gun. She's running at another woman. Boom. He shoots her. The girl, run that back, Spencer. You think it's sitting serious stuff? Watch the girl in the pink run. She's right there at the beginning. Down goes one. Here she comes. Boom, he shoots her. Watch the girl run. The girl in the pink's out of there, man. What if he hadn't shot her? Yep. Okay, I don't want to get bogged down on this, all right? This stuff is just starting to irritate me so much. Hey, listen, friends. You can't be afraid. You can no longer be afraid to be called a racist. I'm sorry. You just can't. We have to call this out. For what it is. What are these people standing here letting this girl run around with a knife to begin with? And now look at them. You know what it is? We played the video. Now they're all screaming, oh, she's a 15-year-old girl. You shot a 15. Hell, she's going to stab another one. Oh, man. And LeBron James weighs in. Go ahead. Come on in, Reggie. And Joseph.
Thank you, Coach, very much. You know, my heart goes out to these police officers because they're being used, they're being crucified because they don't even know what to do anymore. We have particular training. The race isn't part of that training. And when you get into a situation, nobody puts themselves in that cop's shoes. As you're going to that call, you're already trying to prepare yourself in a million different ways because you don't know what you're coming up on. Nobody understands how that call came in.
Freeze that right there. Go back a little. I'm sorry, Reggie. Go back a little bit. Do you think this cop knows he's going to end up black? Look at this. Look at the reaction of the girl. Look, stop, freeze. Look at the girl in the pink fending off this girl with a knife. Look at this. And the cop sees it. Where's Chad Estes when we need him?
I'm here, buddy.
Chad, you're a cop. What's going through this guy's mind when he pulls up and sees this?
Well, Reggie's trying to lay it out for you right here. So
yeah, if I'd shut up, go ahead, Reg.
So that's okay. No, and so you know, the media, this was a perfect opportunity because right now, well, they have been. That's what their job is. They want to incite division. They use race. They use religion. This was a perfect opportunity, and they're going to go with it. And unfortunately, a lot of people out there don't realize, they don't think about every scenario, and they don't realize that it's propaganda. Yes, it's happened, but the media is propaganda. And that poor cop, they don't know what to do anymore. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I don't know why I'd be a cop.
Hey, right, too, you see, there's other officers there. It looks like two of them are black. Why didn't they, you know, this is the problem. The whole thing looks like a setup almost.
Yeah, this ain't a black and white thing. Which Black Lives Matter? That's the way I see it. Come on in, Joe Allen, then Bobby Lee, and then Jack. Come on. And then I want to shift gears. Three more, then we'll shift gears. Go ahead, Joe.
In law enforcement training, they say 3 seconds and 21 feet with the person yielding a knife.
You have 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
To go 21 feet.
21 feet. And then, like Reggie says, cops are leaving by droves.
I don't blame them.
From cities, by droves.
I don't blame them.
We ain't going to be left with anybody.
Of course, there's the media loves to show you a nice smiley picture of the girl. I'm so sick of racism. I'm so sick of this phony racism thing. Huh? But I don't know. Not one black guy that I don't like, that I have a problem. I don't know what one. I know a lot of white folk. I know a lot of white folk I don't get along with. This whole made up thing. Come on in, Bobby Lee. You gotta unmute yourself, Bobby. I don't know if you think you are, bud.
All right. Yeah, you can hear me now, right?
Yeah, I got you, buddy.
Yeah, Yeah, I want to remind the world how dangerous these kids are. These kids, these loving 13-year-olds, these innocent 13-year-olds, will kill you and laugh while doing it. The last year I was doing behavioral therapy, I dealt with 3 knife issues just on my own. When I was working at the wilderness camp over in Jersey, there was a group of girls that knifed another innocent teenager to death, and those innocent knife-wielding teenagers, those loving innocent ones, squatted over the dead body and urinated on it. So yeah. The world wake up about how dangerous these kids are and what they're doing. Because I was calling this 10 years ago, and yeah, now here yeah. we are.
Hey, listen, hey, Bobby, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much you call me a racist, I couldn't care less, all right? I know that I'm not, and I don't care what they say. I ain't swallowing that pill. I ain't going to swallow it. Come on in, Jack. Still muted, Jack.
This is from the tunnel.
All right. I hear you better today, buddy.
Oh, geez. Back in the early 70s, in Hunters Point section of San Francisco, police, after dark, wouldn't even come into the area. They just said, "We're not coming in. You guys can kill each other. I'm sorry." It ended.
That's where we're heading, Jack. That's where we're heading. Yep. Well, that's what they want.
That's the same way in Chicago, south side of Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming to a community near you, by the way. Hey, listen, I got a video. It's not up yet. I sent it to Jared today and asked him to get the video up. It is another knee knocker. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where I sent it. It doesn't matter. Yeah, there it is. I pull up real quickly. Yeah, that's it. Folks, listen, this video is not up, but you've got to read this article. Spencer, somehow get this thing in the chat. Put a copy of this in the chat. I don't have time to go through it now, but it has to do with exactly what we're talking about. Who runs the world? This is unbelievable. Showing, folks, it's not just 7 corporations. It's unbelievable. Now you can read the article, but the video. It's not Jared's fault. I just sent it to him this morning. Say, hey, Jared, get this thing up. So check back later on, and check out this video. Show Vanguard BlackRock showing you exactly who really is running the world. Tim or Naomi, come on in here if you want to.
Yeah, there is a really good book called Food and Behavior by Barbara Reed Stitt. And she was she was in Ohio. It's been a little while since I watched it, and I'm going between links.
Go ahead.
Anyway, she worked with, she did counseling. She got a lot of these kids sent to her straight from the courts. And she found that diet played a huge role in these. And when she even had those issues herself. And when she would get them on a good whole foods diet and off of the fast foods, 99% of the time, they were no longer in the criminal system again.
I can believe it. I can be our what you eat. Of course, it'd probably help a lot if they had a daddy around too, right? Oh, yes. Hey, Coach, that's right. No, I'm not. That's not racist. 70% of these kids are raised in a home without a father. 70%. Huh? Call that racist if you want to. Don't bother me none. Pull up Facebook's at Stanford real quick. I got some stuff I got to get in here. Facebook's at Stanford because we talked about it yesterday. I don't know if we put this in the chat, but we need to put it in the chat as well. Stanford University came out with a study. We talked about it yesterday. Look at this. Face masks are dirty, dehumanizing, and ineffective. This is a study from Stanford University. Scroll down a little bit. I was going to spend more time. I don't have enough time to spend on it. Keep going down there. Keep going down. A peer-reviewed study, face masks in the COVID era. Go on down, Spence. Keep going on. Yeah, Patrick's got his on. The hypotheses, go on down. Do they work? No, they don't work. Go on down, Spencer. Go on down. We'll show people something. In fact, stop right there. Wait a minute. What? Physiological, psychological impact of wearing face masks. This is a Harvard peer-reviewed study. What are the physical effects? hypoxia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increased lactate concentration, decline in pH levels, acidosis, toxicity, inflammation, self-contamination, increase in stress hormones, increased muscle tension. This is from wearing a mask. The physical effect, activation of fight or flight response, chronic stress, fear, mood disturbances, insomnia, fatigue, compromised cognitive performance, health consequences, increased predisposition for viral and infectious diseases, headaches, anxiety, depression, hypertension, cardiovascular, cancer, diabetes. A peer-reviewed study telling us the masks don't work. In fact, they make things worse. Now, anybody out there can sue Fauci's ass, you think? Pardon my French. Huh? They're going to be able to get away with this? How about all the governors that knew this science? How about all the doctors that knew this science? How about the medical, whatever the F, whatever that medical association is that's buying into this lie? What's going on? What's going on, folks? Premature mortality, health deterioration, accelerated aging process, exacerbation of existing conditions and diseases. These are the impacts of wearing a mask. And they're still making us do it. Still making us do it. Put that in the chat so people can read that on their own, share it with others. I can't wait to see some of you folks on this weekend. I need to be around some like-minded people. That's what I need to be. If you bring a mask, you ain't getting in. If you bring a mask, I'll give you your money back. You ain't getting in. Not gonna do it. Gotta put a stop to this nonsense. Come on in, Patrick. You're muted, brother. Roger Stone. Did nothing wrong. Good, Patrick.
Is it okay if I wear this mask, though?
Yeah, you wear that one.
I think Roger, yeah, okay, cool. Awesome, thank you.
All right, buddy, all right. Okay, folks, there it is. Put it in the chat if you can, Spence. Folks, copy it, pass it around. Peer-reviewed study, they all know this. Masks not only do not prevent coronavirus, they aggravate other physical, emotional, mental conditions. They know it. All right? They know it. But still people are wearing them. How long? Hey, has anybody been saying that for a while here? Anybody been saying that? Oh, I got so much stuff I want to get into today, and I'm just not going to have time. So listen, it's critical that we do this. Naomi, did you want back in? Your hand's up. Pat?
Well, it's like what I said yesterday after the show. I've taken pictures of labels of masks, and one of them is an accessory you can wear with a women's shirt. And they say on there that they're not made to avoid any virus. And the one I took of at Walmart said that you're not supposed to even wear it if there's in a high critical situation, like you go into a clinic where it's possible of a high risk of infection. You're not even supposed to wear it. It's right on the label. And then guess where they're made? China.
Of course, right? Hey, we understand this, though, right? There are people who smoke cigarettes. Think it ain't going to catch up to them, right? Yeah, hi, Brett. 98% survivor. I got to move on, okay? I got to move on. I'm done talking about face masks. If you wear a face, hey folks, look at me. As Bobby Lee would say, if you wear a face mask, you're dumber than hell. Okay? Bobby, give me a thumbs up on that one, Bobby. Bobby has that on the back of his truck. If you wear a face mask, you're dumber than hell. It's right out there now. All right, folks? You're dumber than hell if you wear a face mask. Sorry. That make me a racist or something? Probably does. Seven principalities of hell. I want to get this out there before Russ Dizdar this week. And we started on it last week and never got to it. Not that one. It's the other one, brother. It's the other one. It's the attachment. The seven principalities of hell. And I want to run down through these really, really quickly, if I can. Yeah, there you go, bud. And we talked about them. And I think, these are from Doc Marquis. And we only got through one of them last week when I had to. And I didn't get back to it. It's been over a week. And because we're having the spiritual warfare training with Russ and the crew, time out. Thank God for Gary Pierce, for all the work that Gary, I've been crazy, chasing my tail. And a lot of what's going on would not have gotten done without Gary Pierce. And I just want to publicly say that the housing and the registrations, we got over 150 people coming live stream still for $30. I can't believe some of you guys won't purchase the live stream. I just can't believe it. You have it for 30 days. You can share it with your pastor. You can have a Bible study and get people over and show them and keep and make a copy of it. Somehow make a copy of it. So you have it. Man, oh man. So thanks, Gary. I want to just say that publicly. So we were talking about the five principalities of hell, Doc Marquis. And you go back and look at a couple shows ago, five, six, seven shows ago, whatever. And he was explaining to us the seven principalities of hell. Now I want to try to run down through these for all of us as quickly as we can. Not so much from a discussion point of view, but for an informational point of view. Remember, it tells us in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. The princes, seven principalities of hell. If we would imagine a military force, the devil having a military force, these would be the seven branches of the seven branches of the military. This is how they operate. And there's a king or a leader that sits atop of every one of these branches, okay? This is from, again, Doc Marquis. I put it out there. I don't know, but you learn from others. Doc Marquis grew up in the middle of the Illuminati, which, by the way, doesn't exist. There is no Illuminati, and there is no child trafficking, and there is none of that stuff, right? But for those of you who are still crazy enough to think that maybe there is, Doc Marquis told us what the seven principalities of hell are. Number one, we went through some of this the other day. Yes, we'll make this PDF available to whoever wants it, but you might want to take notes as we go down through it if you want to, or review it, watch it again, and take notes, okay? First one was Rege. I had Joseph was reading this. Are you still in here, Joe? Silver in here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Joe, I promise you I will interrupt you a lot, even though I say I'm not going to, okay? So let's just go back to number one, and let's start with Rege, and let's go down through who these principalities and powers, seven principalities of hell. Folks, we're dealing with it right now. We're dealing with it. What would make a 15, 16-year-old girl grab a knife and run through her? Come on, man. Come on. Go ahead, Joe.
Number one, Rege. He is the general of the occult. He deals with such things as marijuana, hashish, cocaine, speed, LSD, peyote, and mescaline.
So he's like the general, man. He's the chief of staff. Go ahead, bud.
These are the drugs of sorcery. They attack the mind and open it up for a demon to enter. Rege is also responsible for seeing that music is hexed.
Well, that's another whole story. Hexed music. Keep going, Joe. I'm going to try to be quiet today.
Of great interest is the name of the lesser marijuana demon who reports directly to Rege. His name is Jah and is considered the god of marijuana by many practicing occultists. Listen to this quote from John Lennon, the founder of the Beatles. Quote, during the recording session for Revolver, the Beatles worked on the track Rain, which would eventually be released as a single. It contained recording industry's first use of reversed music and voices.
Time out, Joe. Remember, folks, Mark Trump has taught us that all sound is waves, right? All sound is waves. And so waves played backwards are still waves, energy waves. Go ahead, Joe.
While working on the song, John, high on marijuana, accidentally loaded the tapes backward, resulting in a sound that transfixed him. He called the inspiration the gift of God, of Yah, actually the God of marijuana. Jah gave me that one, the first backward tape on any record anywhere, the Lennon Prophecy,
a new imagine there's no heaven.
Blues of the Beatles.
Easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. That's John Lennon. Imagine. He was imagining, right? Yeah. Let's go to number two, Joe. Well, no, this stuff's important. I'm not going to hurry through it. Go ahead, Joe.
My research into the occult has revealed to me that the opening of one's mind to higher levels of consciousness is absolutely critical to the development of that person to the higher levels of the occult. and such opening of one's mind is absolutely dependent upon taking drugs. Therefore, if our theory of CE-1001 is correct, we should see a tremendous problem of people taking drugs on a widespread and unprecedented manner. Do we see such a problem in today's news? As far as today's popular music being hexed, I believe it totally. Space and time do not permit me to go into detail on this point. However, I simply submit to you that people being trained in witchcraft are told that popular music, especially that targeted for teens and preteens, is hexed for maximum occultic effect.
Okay, we don't have to believe it, but they believe it, right? That we don't have, when would they do that Lost Land concert over boom, 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 it's a demonic beat, folks. It's a demonic beat, all right? Think about this. I just started singing Imagine. Isn't it amazing how those words are buried in my brain? Isn't it amazing how when I said, running on empty, Patrick says, hey, that's Jackson Browne. Isn't it amazing how this stuff is imprinted on our brains and we don't even know it, right? We don't even know it. Wow. Maybe that's why Christian music is a somewhat of a counter. Tim, you look like you're going to fall out of your chair. You want to say something?
Yeah. Years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I read the statistic that 70% of all pharmaceutical drugs in the world are being taken by people in the United States alone.
No wonder we're crazy. Number two, Joe, let's go here, man.
Lars. Demon of sexual lust.
You taking notes, folks? You taking notes? These are the seven principalities of hell.
Demon of sexual lust, homosexuality, bisexuality, adultery, and other such sexual pleasures.
Wow.
Again, our daily news is filled with sex and sexual perversions. Pornography, both hardcore and softcore, can be found in any small to large town and city throughout our land.
Clearly before the internet, right? This is clearly before the internet. It's right here. Porn's right here. Go ahead, Joe.
Our TV airwaves are absolutely full of movies and sitcoms that liberally use sex to entice people to watch. Our prisons are full of people convicted of all sorts of sexual crimes, from rape to child molestation. Video stores are seemingly on every, most of which feature large adults-only XXX movies. The internet is crawling with such adult-only pornography.
Remember, this is from Doc Marquis a few years ago, so some of this information may seem old. You're doing great, Joe. Let's keep rolling.
Lars is enjoying greater success in America than ever in our nation's history. One of his greatest American successes has to be the legitimizing of homosexuality and bisexuality.
Wow.
When a person is invited to become a witch, he or she is first treated to a great big party where alcohol and drugs flow freely and sex is available to anyone who wants it, whichever way they want it. Alcohol, drugs, and wild, raunchy sex all serve the same purpose: to sever the person's old value system and conscience from their current lifestyle.
Wow.
Sex is also very critical to witchcraft. At its base, it is fulfillment of Romans 1:25-29, especially verse 25, where people are worshiping the creature, sex, rather than the creator. And Paul makes it quite clear in verses 26-29 that this perversion of true worship results in all types of uncleanness and sexual perversity. Again, in our theory in radio program CE-1001 is correct, we should expect to see an obsession with sex throughout our society.
Roger and Lars. Anybody thumbs up on either one of those two boys right now? Those two principalities of hell. Number three looks like Bacchus is the next one. I wonder who he would be, Joe. Seven generals of hell. General Patton of hell. Go ahead.
Bacchus, demon of addictions.
Wow.
Such as on drugs, smoking, and alcohol.
And food.
Satan loves to capture a person in some sort of addiction, for then it is much easier to control that person for his diabolical, perverted ends. We absolutely do see these types of addictions plaguing America today.
Wow.
I am sure that no one hooked on cigarettes ever thought they were a victim of the workings of the demon Bacchus working to achieve the New World Order.
Do you understand what he's saying, folks? Addiction is promoting the New World Order. He said, well, how's that happening? That's crazy. No, it isn't. Mind control. Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, put your body a living sacrifice, all acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the way you think. They got to control the way you think. If you can't control the way you think, you're in trouble. Go, Joe.
Yet it is true. Since our theory of CE 1001 is correct, we do see a literal plague of these types of addictions. And yes, Regier and Bacchus can and do work very closely together to maximize their respective areas of responsibility, they and their army of demons.
So General Patton Bacchus has a bunch of soldiers under him. Is that what I'm reading, Silver? Is that the way you're seeing this?
Yes.
So it's manifesting in a lot of different ways. These demons are... Anybody see any of this on TV? Anybody see this in your neighborhood anywhere, huh? Go ahead. Number four, Joe. We got Pan. It all pan out in the end, right?
Demon of the mind, Pan.
Wow.
He causes mental illnesses, depression, suicide, nerves, and rejection. Have you noticed that when a person becomes depressed or feels rejected, he'll turn to drugs or something else that will eventually become addictive?
Wow. So there's one, two, and three when he gets emotionally upset. Go ahead.
You see how one demon will cause you to go to another? Pan causes you to become depressed. So you go to Regier, the demon of the occult and drugs, and he in turn sends you to Bacchus, the demon of addiction. It's all one big circle in which they try to keep you trapped forever. I wonder if Dr. Jack Kevorkian is knowingly in league with Pan.
Wow. Keep going.
This type of cooperation between the various demonic leaders and their fiefdoms really strikes a chord with me in America today. We have millions of Americans caught in more than one addiction. The social consequences are severe and spiritually deadly. American society is being prepared to accept the satanic antichrist and his perverted, twisted society. Can you not see through the daily news how close we are?
Can you see it? Huh? Is this what we're talking? And see, folks, the average persons you go to church with, they're not making this connection. They're not making this connection between the demonic realm and the way they're being baited and reeled in and the behavior going on around. Look at this sweet thing. Star was born last night, David Heavener, on TV last night. Reese was the star of the show. Go ahead. Number five, Reese, we're right in the middle of these demons we're talking about. Go ahead, Joe.
Number five, Medit.
Medit.
Demon of hate, murder, killing, war, jealousy, envy, and gossip.
Wow. Anybody seen that on your local TV news?
This sounds like our TV soap operas, both daytime and night, does it not? This demon is also unbelievably active in our society today, filling our daily news with murder and mayhem. I am sure that the activists who are fighting domestic abuse and violence never contemplated that they may be fighting a demonic host.
Wow, Joe, do you get that, Joe? Fighting a demonic host. It's not just people acting crazy. Listen, folks, most of you are Christians, and you have trouble controlling your carnal nature. Can you imagine someone not under the unction of the Holy Spirit trying to control these? My goodness, Lord, help us to see. Go ahead, Joe.
Again, when this demonic division cooperates with the divisions promoting addiction, drugs, alcohol, and mental illness and the like, you get a most powerful group of problems.
That you do.
Of a disastrous nature.
I guess you do. Two more. Seven principalities of hell from Doc Marquis. That's what we're talking about here. Number six. I can't wait to get number seven. You guys can look ahead. I can't wait to get to number seven. Go ahead, number six, Joe.
Set, demon of death. There really is such a thing. Wars, terrorism, and murder are raging throughout the world. This 20th century has been the most violent and bloody in world history. Almost all of the massive genocides have occurred this century. And the return of Israel back to her land started the end of the age time clock ticking. Also in this century, 1948 to be exact, this demon marches with the armies of this world, with the guerrillas in the jungles, and with the inner city gangs. This demon lurks in the darkness of night, waiting to strike without warning, without mercy, and without any reason. Set is his name. Death is his game.
Say that again, Joe, because we need to underline that, boys and girls. What does that say, Joe?
Set is his name. Death is his game.
Oh boy. All right, let's slide into third base here. Number seven, the Christian demon. Go ahead, Joe.
Christian demon. This particular demon has no set name. He is so powerful that most witches won't even bother him. Getting Christians to talk about each other through gossiping and causing strife within the church and among the brethren. He will also try to weaken a Christian's walk with the Lord by making him content, fail to live up to church commitments such as tithing, soul winning, church participation, and much more.
Okay, before we go any further here, I'm going to take a pause in the action. See if anybody has a reaction to anything you've seen there. Joe Allen, come on in, brother.
When we invaded Panama and got Manuel Noriega, one of these items that Joseph just read, silver, was music. They used music so loud to get him out of that Catholic monastery. In 1992, when we had a hurricane went through Miami, we transported him up to Tallahassee, Florida, and he asked us, please not turn the music on. This is how detriment that made that guy, because we did in Panama to him.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. How come I can recite that, but I can't recite 1 Peter 3, verse 17? Come on in, Debbie. Got to unmute, Deb.
Well, Dave, because there's no songs about it.
That's right. Reese knows some Christian songs. She can sing. Can you sing a Christian song, Reese? How about this? Sing the presidents for us real quick. Hurry up. Go ahead, Reese. Get down there where they can hear you.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, and Taylor. Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, and Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, and Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley, Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump,
and Biden, she whispered at the end. But you can't learn scripture, right? We can't learn scripture. Debbie, can you get in here yet?
Yeah, I can get in. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Skywatch TV or Sharon and Derek Gilbert.
Sure.
But Sharon Gilbert talked about Set, the god of death.
Yep.
And she said what the world order wants is a reset. Everybody's talking about a reset. That's who they're talking about.
Oh, my goodness, Debbie. Good catch there. A reset. Got a dead demon of seven, principality of hell. Rochelle, come on in, and Larry.
Hey, wow, this is pretty tough stuff. By the way, all of these demons, they've got different names. So just because you didn't hear your favorite demon doesn't mean it's not represented. And they've all got legions behind them and et cetera, et cetera. Yep. And remember the one that they call Lucifer, I don't think that's his name, but the one that they call, he was the main entity for music. So it's there is something to music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I started singing scripture, and that is how I remembered it. Those, there's like she just sang the presidents. My kids sing the capitals. It's something about music.
Yeah, there is. Larry, bless you, Rochelle.
Yeah, you know, the bit about trading one addiction for another, trading one addiction for another, you know, supposedly our side does the same thing. They trade the addiction of alcoholism or the addiction of drugs or the addiction of pornography or something like that for the addiction of being addicted to a group of people that are supposedly following a higher power that are ashamed to call it Jesus because they don't believe in Jesus.
Amen. They believe in a higher power, but it ain't the power. Okay, Joseph, wrap us up here, brother. Now remember, hey, give Doc Marquis a little bit of slack. This is probably written, I don't know, 20 years ago, maybe even longer than that ago, okay? So now he's gonna wrap it up for us. Go ahead, Joe.
Could the persistent activities of this demon be responsible for the apostasy of the church, of the Christian church? Since 1948, the year Israel was returned to her land, was also the time of the creation of the Ecumenical World Council of Churches and our own National Council of Churches. New Age authors are quite bold in saying that these movements are absolutely essential in uniting the religions of the world into the coming New World Order religion of the Christ. We have always concluded that the Christian churches hold the key, to the appearance of Antichrist. As long as we strongly held the truth of the gospel, refusing to compromise, Antichrist could not appear. But soon after Christian churches began to drift away from key doctrines and compromising the truth of the gospel, we should expect to see the forces of Antichrist charging forward. Indeed, this scenario is occurring today. Congratulations, liberal Christian leaders. You have just opened the door for Antichrist.
Wow. Finish it up there, Silver.
Now that you know the seven major divisions of hell, what each division is responsible to make happen on earth, can you understand a little better what is happening in our world today, in our daily news, and why it is happening? Are you spiritually ready? Is your family? Are you adequately protecting your loved ones? This is the reason for this ministry, to enable you to first understand the peril facing you and then help you develop strategies to warn and protect your loved ones.
Wow.
Once you have been thoroughly trained, you can use your knowledge as a means to open the door of discussion with an unsaved person. I have been able to use it many times and seen many people come to Jesus Christ as a result. These perilous times are also a time when we can reach many souls for Jesus Christ, making an eternal difference.
Folks, get, if you can, to Newark, Ohio this weekend for the training with Russ Dizdar. If you can't get there for $30, you can have it broadcast directly, thank you, Reese, into your home. You'll have a 30-day access to it that you can share with others. We have got, whose eyes are open, who understand what's going on, friends, we have to be the disseminators of this information. So what we're going to talk about this weekend. And my, oh my, what does the Bible say? We should not, are not to be ignorant of his devices. We don't even know he has an army. We think he wears a red suit and has a tail and horns and carries a pitchfork. By the way, you could raise your hand right now if you see the impact of this in your family. You don't have to. You don't have to, but you sure could. I know you could. Okay, let's go to Christy Henderson. Come on. Oh, Christy, you just disappeared on me. Who's trying to get in here? Larry's your hand still up. I don't know if you want to get back in or your hand still up. Rochelle's hands. Come on, we got 6 minutes to go. Let's wrap this up.
I just real quick wanted to talk about a little bit about these demons and how they interact. In the Gospel of Nicodemus, when those who rose from the dead, when Christ first rose from the dead, you remember how the Bible talks about others rising from the dead as well, and we're walking yes. around. Yes. There is an account. There was the high priest when Jesus was a baby. I can't remember his name. The one who said, "Oh, now I've seen the Son of God and I can die." Well, he had two sons, and two of his sons were one of the among those who rose from the dead, and they gave a written account of what had happened in hell. And they said that Satan was given over to Beelzebub because Beelzebub was upset that Jesus actually was able to set the captives free. Let's sort of say take them out of the bad part of hell or whatever. Uh-huh. And so now Satan is working for Beelzebub. So they were at one point had their own. One was king of the other world, one above the underworld. But for whatever reason, it made them sound like now they're working as a team. And it there's a whole backstory to all this demonology, and it's kind of been covered up in our Bible. They don't really want us to know about these things, so we don't know how to fight them. And a lot of our what they'll call mental disabilities or something like that, I really think they are some type of demons got something going on with that. Mm-hmm. And this, it's so plain here when he shows how addictions can go to addictions and they just pass you off to this one or that one. It's really scary.
Come on in, Stephanie, even though you said, I don't have my hand up. I know you're out there listening. What do you think about this, Stephanie? Is this stuff real? Your experience? Folks, she's probably off doing some more. Come on in, Steph.
Yeah, I'm here, Coach. I just got to get to where you can hear me. Yeah, it's very real. And like Rochelle, there's a lot more names to this. They call themselves many names. They're confusion and chaos. And sometimes also they come looking very nice and shiny and friendly. So this is all very real.
They come as an angel of light, don't they, Stephanie? Huh? Don't they?
Yeah.
Now, folks, listen. I'm a football coach, all right? I'm a helmet head. That's what I am. And I'm going to tell you, I spent my whole life in church. Most of it, I'm sorry, I'm trying to fix something there. Most of it asleep. But when I finally got awakened, began to understand that going to church on Sunday really wasn't what it was all about, but that this was the everyday aspect of living and fighting these spiritual forces. How can you go to church? How can I go to church, be 68 years old and never know any of this? Can somebody explain that to me? How's that even possible? And I have to confess to you, I've heard from about five of my pastor friends who took that from Doc Marquis and preached the sermon in their church. What if we began to do more of that kind of stuff, right? Come on in real quickly, Clay. You're the last one for the day.
Yeah, Coach, I was just going to say that I can't remember the name of that demon that y'all were just talking about that makes you comfortable.
Anyway, go ahead.
If you get too comfortable, you get lazy. So, you know, just be thankful. I just ask everybody to think about that. And when you're not comfortable, maybe God's just keeping you in the game. So be thankful when you don't get too comfortable and lazy.
Well, it's like if you got a bunch of hornets flying around your house, you don't worry about them too much, do you, Clay? Till they start to come down and sting you, then you begin to fight back. But they tell you, hey, don't go mess with a hornet's nest. Well, the sad reality of it is those hornets are demons, and most of us aren't even aware that they're around there. They're buzzing all around us. They're stinging here and stinging there, and we have not put together this whole idea that what's going on. So this weekend, Russ Dizdar and Tom Dunn and their team, they're going to show us how to swat some hornets. They're going to show us how to get some of that bug spray, that stuff that can stand a long distance away and squirt and kill those suckers. And the impact of being able to do that will reach into your family and into your community and into those you love. As you become more and more informed and more equipped and more empowered, that you and I have authority and power over these forces of darkness, will become more effective. We need to unleash an end time. Russ Dizdar talks about this all the time. We have to unleash an end times army. If you guys believe that we are in the end times, quit looking for the rapture and get on your boots. Put your stinking boots on. We are an army marching in this end time.
Amen, Coach.
That we find ourselves in now is not the time to shirk from our responsibility and be comfortable. Now's the time to engage the seven principalities of hell. And the Lord said he gave us power to tread on all the forces of darkness, all the powers of the enemy. Wake up, church. Oh, man, what a time to be alive. God bless you. Hey, by the way, if you want, I don't know if we can put those principalities in the chat. You can do that. If not, email me, and I'll be glad to send them to you. Coach at CoachDaveLive.com. Thanks, Roger Weaver, for providing live streaming to so many people. They all tell you thanks, so I'll tell you for them. God bless you. Got to run. See you tomorrow.